If you read the Bible in the book of Acts, you'll find that Peter and John were told not to preach or teach in the name of Jesus. But they replied, whether it's right to listen to God or listen to you, you be the judge. We cannot help but speak of the things which we have seen and heard. The haters of Christianity are saying it differently today, but they're saying it. Don't preach to me. Don't tell me how to live my life. Just leave me alone. Let me live whatever lifestyle I want to live. Really, my friend, it's a spirit of lawlessness. So it begs the question, do we live the status quo or do we live the kingdom life? It's a risk, isn't it? Someone might say, well, I'm limited to what I can do because of, and then they list a litany of reasons. I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too isolated, I'm too sick, I'm too tired, I don't get out much anymore, and excuses just go on and on. It's so easy to say I'm limited. Moses was limited at the Red Sea. And yet God spoke to him and said, take that shepherd's rod and lift it up. And then God parted those waters and 2.5 million Israelites walked across on dry ground with the Egyptian army being drowned behind them. The three Hebrew young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were limited in the face of Nebuchadnezzar's threats. But when they were thrown into the fiery furnace bound, God loosed their bindings and they walked out without even the smell of smoke on them. Gideon was limited with only 300 soldiers against an army of 10,000 Midianites, and yet he carried the day. David was limited by his slingshot against Goliath. But when that stone catapulted from that slingshot, it hit the only uncovered part of Goliath's body. Something entered his mind that had never entered his mind before. And the day was won. Elijah was limited on Mount Carmel when 450 prophets of Baal did their incantations and cut themselves and call their 1-900 numbers. Elijah said, let him who is God be God. And the fire streaked down from heaven and consumed his sacrifice. And if you read the Bible, you'll find Elijah did a pretty good job of taking care of the 450 prophets of the devil. Daniel was limited by lions. They were supposed to eat him. But instead of eating Daniel, they wound up devouring those who put him in. Noah was limited by an ark. It is said he floated a new venture while the entire world was in total liquidation. Hosea was limited by his desperate housewife. And that's all I'm going to say about that. And it looked like Jesus was limited as he hung on the cross. And the devil said, there, that's that. It's finished. But he didn't realize that Jesus was taking on the sin of the world, that he was taking the stripes on his back for your healing and mine. Well, our limitations are our opportunity to glorify God and to present the gospel to someone who needs it. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. In other words, stop magnifying your limitations. Stop fussing and fighting and feuding, and let's launch out into the deep and let down our nets for a catch of souls for the gospel of Jesus. He said, you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Let's do it. And listen to this. It's time to rejoice continually. Stop whining, griping, complaining. Paul rejoiced while he was in prison. And he would not ever even admit that he had been held captive as a prisoner of Rome. No, he called himself a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read it in the Bible. And the reason is because God had consumed his life. That's what I want. Now, you know, in the natural, let's face it. It's hard to rejoice when people have hurt you. And when they've accused you, and when they've lied against you, and when they've stolen from you. And in the natural, you wish you could, well, you know what I mean. I'm sure. I'm sure that every time Paul was beaten, and he was beaten a lot, in fact, he lists the times he was beaten. When he was beaten, I'm sure getting even crossed his mind. I remember, oh my. You know, you put some things in the past, but still you remember. I remember when there were people who came against me with false accusations. Oh, how I wanted to get even. I wanted to get even with them. Those accusations, I call them accusations, they were in newspapers, they were online, really hurt me because they were lies. It wasn't true. And I was trying to figure out a way to get even, and I did some research on those people, and I found out some things they had done that were bad, and I was ready to expose them and end their... I told people what I was planning to do, and I began to pray, and the Lord spoke to me and said, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. So I put the sword down. I did not strike at them. I forgave them. Wasn't easy. Now, do I like suffering? No. And I don't know anybody who does. I am against suffering, but I do know this. If you love Jesus, the world is going to hate you. I remember I was talking to my daughter, Chloe, earlier today. I was reminding her of the time when she and her sisters were little and we went into a restaurant here in Tulsa. And it's just Lindsay and me and the three girls, Jordan, Olivia, and Chloe, and we were having a nice dinner, and a man got up from his table and walked over to our table. I didn't know why. I thought maybe he wanted prayer. I didn't know. People do that. They come over, they want prayer, they want to say hello, or they want this or that. Want a photograph. And he walked over to the table, and I looked up, and he said, you don't have any idea how much I hate you. I looked at Lindsay. She looked at me. Our children were, Chloe was in a high chair. And he just turned and walked out the door. The people at the next table said, what did he say to you? And I told him what he said, and the Mary, who was the owner of the restaurant, came in, and she said, what did he say to you? And I told her, and she said, well, I would have just hit him. I said, yeah, that's what the world would have done, Mary. But think about what he must be going through. Think about the misery. Think about his wife, what she must be going through, what his family must be going through. If he has that kind of attitude about me, what else is going wrong in his attitude? You got to get beyond that. You got to rejoice. And the reason I can rejoice, the reason is very simple. Because I know who my Redeemer is. And I know that my Redeemer lives. I'm not worshiping a dead God. I'm worshiping a live God. So like the song says, why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows fall? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion? My constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Funny thing about a sparrow, the Bible says, that he sees even a sparrow fall. Something as seemingly insignificant as a little tiny bird. Well, if he sees that, then he sees you. And he knows who you are. He knows where you live. He knows what you're feeling, what you're going through right now. And in the authority of the name of Jesus, I come against the satanic aggravation and accusation and attack. I come against every sickness and every disease, every fear, every doubt. I come against anything and everything that would try to wreak havoc in your life. I bind it in the name of Jesus. I command it to come off. I declare and I decree healing sent to you, according to Psalm 107, verse 20, which says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I rebuke every demonic force that has opposed you, oppressed you, and tried to block you out in the name of Jesus. And I pray for the beginning of healing, restoration, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. I'm so glad you joined me today for this podcast. I do it each week, and it's a joy and honor to do it. If you need special prayer, the Abundant Life Prayer Group is ready to receive your call at 918-495-7777 or online, richardroberts.org/prayer. I'll see you next time on the Expect a Miracle podcast. God bless.